Let us bow our heads and pray over the preaching moment. We will do it briefly. Dear God, we ask that you would bless this preaching moment. Thank you for the praising. Thank you for the giving. Now we've come to the sermon. We ask that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, with your Bibles in your hands, we'll do one more confession. I was talking to the Lord, is it time to stop this? And the Lord said no. So we're going to keep going with this until the Lord tells us differently. All right, so repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe the Lord is going to feed you, go ahead and make some noise. Amen. Amen. We're going to make just a little changes moving forward. Mother Mitchell, she hasn't been reading the scriptures lately because we had some mic issues, but we're thinking maybe we should give her a break, but we don't want her totally to retire and check out. So I got a mic with her. I'm going to have her read some of the points. I will point to you and have you to read those, but I'm going to start doing some of those scriptures. So last week we talked about this. We're just going to do a little quick recap. We talked about the way forward, and we were sharing 11 words to help you best shape this new year. And we gave you actually 11 words, and we called it language for the journey. And we were just saying that there are certain words that you needed to help you as we begin to move into further into this new year. And as I thought about that, it hadn't quite let me go. I'm not in a series, but I thought there's some more that needs to be said about that. And so today I want to talk about this. Last week was the way forward, but today I want to talk about going inward. Because when you're in a space like this, a church space, many times the word of God is a collective word that all of us should grab hold of. But sometimes, because it is a collective word, we have the mindset of they and we, and sometimes we forget me. In other words, I'm listening because they need to hear this. More folk in church, more folk need to be in church to hear this. They need to hear this. Oh, we need to do better. Nothing wrong with they and we, but don't forget the me in the process. In other words, this is one of those sermons where you can be selfish because I need it to be about you. I need you to take some stuff for you. We talked about it last week. We talked about application, and only you can apply the things that you hear. And so there's going to have to be some time for you to go inward and do some reflection inward. There's nothing wrong with wanting your spouse to be better, your child to be better, your job to be better, the politicians to be better. But when you gonna want you to be better? And so in order for you to go forward, sometimes you have to go inward. There has to be some self-inventory. And this is nothing new. I've talked about this throughout the years. I've done things like self-check. One year we taught about questioning yourself. We talked even about the path inward. So this is not new, but I got to remind us that we're going to have to do some of our own reflection, working on us. And so that's what this sermon is about. And so we're going to give you some more words, but first, last week was language for the journey, and this is simply language for yourself. Sometimes you just got to worry about yourself. Sometimes you're going to have to dig into yourself. The stuff that deals with you. There's nothing wrong with you taking self-inventory. There's nothing wrong with you bettering yourself. There's nothing wrong with you, like Bishop Michael Jackson said, looking at the man in the mirror and asking him to change his ways. Oh, I can't wait till my teenagers change. I can't wait till my mama change. No, you need to look in the mirror and ask you to change your ways. Now, I know we're in church and we're pretty. Y'all look good. I look good. We look good. But all of us have some nasty ways if we allow it. If we allow it, sometimes we say we wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Sometimes you wake up on the wrong side of the year. You've been nasty for a whole year. Some folk been ugly for a whole decade, and it's time to make some adjustments, make some changes. There's no need me going forward being the same person, being gossiping and evil and nasty. Come on, we got to make some adjustments. Got to move on. I'm not going to stay here too long, but just recently there was a skit by a comedian named Drewski, and Drewski did a skit about the church, making fun of the mega church, and a lot of people were offended because he's making fun of the church. But instead of being mad at the comedian, sometimes the church got to look at itself. Because unless I give you the material to make fun of me, then sometimes it's me causing me the problem, and other folks are just pointing out the stuff that they see. So it's time to go inward. Somebody say inward. All right, we're not going to do as many words as last week, but I'm still going to take my time because I got my bow tie on. Bow tie means I'm in teaching mode. Take my time. Not going to rush it. But six words to help you best shape you, to work on you. Six words to help you best shape you. We're going to start with a very simple word that we have often read about. We're going to go to scriptures that we've already read before, but it's important. Mother Mitchell, would you just tell us what that word is?
Transformation.
Transformation. So this whole process that we're in with Christianity is really not so we can go to heaven. We have sometimes made the end like the biggest portion, but it's not really the biggest portion. The biggest portion is for there to be transformation in the person that meets Jesus. And so we have to have and be experiencing transformation. Looking at Romans 12, 1 and 2, says this: I beseech ye therefore, brethren, beseech means beg, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And this verse we read last week, but we'll read it again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's two things that are always going on in your life. There's something trying to pull you back, and then there's something trying to transform you and push you forward. And those two things are competing, and what you do determines the level of transformation in your life. This is a steep climb, and there's not a lot of things to grab onto. And so what that means is the moment you stop is what we call backsliding. Backsliding is when you are no longer progressing. It's not just when you went and got a joint. That's not just backsliding. Backsliding is when you are no longer moving forward. And that's the goal of the enemy, is if I can stop you from moving forward, I know that this is a steep slope. So if I can just stop you, before long, you're going to start slipping backwards. And so you're going to have to actively be pushing forward. In order to do that, it's going to take transformation. Why does it take transformation, Pastor Andre? Because we don't always want to move forward. We don't always feel like moving forward. I feel like going on. Not all the time. Sometimes I don't feel like going on. I don't feel like loving my neighbor. I don't feel like compromising. They say, how do marriages stay together for year after year and decade after decade? It takes a lot of compromise. It takes a lot of taking down. It takes a lot of shutting your mouth and being quiet. And if you're honest, I don't want to shut my mouth. I don't want to be quiet. I want to tell some folk off. I want to do what I want to do. Guess what? Your wife ain't the only cute woman in the world. Sometimes I want to look at another woman, but if you're going to keep moving forward, you got to pull some things in check. You got to balance things. You got to deal with things. This is not always an easy life. It takes something to be something. Greatness will cost you greatly. And so it takes transformation. I love the way the Message Bible says it. It just says it so plain, so clear, and so understandable. So I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. I'm going to read Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. It says this. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. What it doesn't say is your church life. It's much easy for me to love folk in church on just 2 hours on Sunday morning with everybody smiling. But when I got to love them devils on my job, that's a lot harder. But God says your religion is not real religion if it only works in the four walls of the church. It's got to work in the street. It's got to work in the grocery store. It's got to work in your house. It's got to work in your home. It's got to work in your car when folk cutting you off. It's got to work when the person you didn't vote for start doing stuff you don't like. That it's got to work everywhere. And it takes some work for it to work. Let's look on the next verse. It says this, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. You'll be transformed. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. My brother Dylan, we're going to skip that next verse because I'm going to tell a story that I didn't think I was going to tell. God checked me in a way I didn't want him to check me. And so I'll put it to you like this. I'm a team leader on my job, and so I have several lines that I'm supposed to help the truckers on each one of those lines. And so I started counting it up. I had about 20 lines. Because then they added shipping to me. I'm no longer in shipping, but I used to be in shipping. So they said, Andre, you'll be good at it. But like, that ain't my area. But they added it to me anyway. So I counted up. I had about 20 lines. And this other person, because they were doing some reconstruction, he's down to 2 lines. So that means I can't remember how many people. So it's about, I think I got 12, 13 people on my team. He got like 4 or 5. So it just so happened that they gave out evaluations. And I just knew my evaluation was going to be just a little bit higher because they're expecting more out of me and I'm doing it. But when I read it, it said meets expectations, not exceeds, meets expectations. Then I just being nosy, I wanted to know, what did the other fella get that don't have as much responsibility as I have? He got meets expectations too. How is it I got 20 lines and I'm meeting expectations? He got 2 lines. You telling me we both working on the same level? And I'm not mad at him. It's not his fault they took things away and didn't add stuff to him. It's their fault. Nice. So I'm not mad at him. I'm looking at them like, this ain't right. So guess what I said? And I said it out loud to a friend of mine. I said, they haven't got meets expectations, but I'm going to show them meets expectations. So they've been getting exceeded, but I'm going to show some meeting expectations. I said it for about 2 days in the way. On the third day, the Lord spoke to me. He said, if I tell you to exceed expectations, you'll do what I tell you. I'm like, wait a second, God. I'm trying to flex my muscles, saying I'm trying to be big and bad. And God said, here's the thing. It's not General Motors that's the boss. I'm your boss. So if I tell you to suck it up, buttercup, you're going to have to suck it up, buttercup, and you're going to have to exceed expectations. I heard what God said, but I really wasn't trying to hear it. So one particular day, we have these radios we use. They called me on lunchtime. It's lunchtime. I turned the radio volume down. I'm on lunch. I'm not getting up. But they had a sewer problem, and sewage was coming up out of the thing, and they wanted somebody to go and move the truck so the sewage wouldn't get on the truck. But I'm thinking, man, one of my people are going to have to go get on the truck, and they're going to have to wade through all that sewage. I'm on my lunchtime, but maybe I need to get up. And they calling me, and I shut the radio off. But something in my spirit said, get up and go do it. Not because they're asking you, because it's the right thing to do. Boy, God, would you just leave me alone sometimes? But sometimes God wants to know, will you go above and beyond, not to please people, but to please him? I didn't do it for the boss. I didn't do it for GM. But somebody died for my sewage. Somebody hung, bled, and died for me. So I got up and did it. And I didn't ask for any recognition because I was honoring God. But in order to walk with God, sometimes he'll ask you to do stuff that you don't want to do when you don't want to do it. But he wants to test the conviction that you have. Andre, if you can't live like a pastor at the job, don't come to DT and start preaching like a pastor. Okay, God. Okay. Don't mean you let people take advantage of you, but the spirit will sometimes check you. Oh, some of y'all, those of y'all who've been married, I ain't fooling with him today. I ain't cooking nothing. Next thing you know, you're in there cooking. Oh, shoot. Yeah, I didn't like what he did today or yesterday, but he's still a good man. I didn't like the way she did today or yesterday, but she's still a good woman. And all you got to do is talk to somebody single who's fooling around in this dating pool and all this junk. You'll be glad for the little raggedy joker that you got. So sometimes you just got to suck it on up. All right, number two. Moving on, number two. It's about formation. So the transformation is about it's forming you into something. God is molding you and he's making you into something. And so the formation process is not supposed to be easy and happy all the time. And so, like I said, sometimes we got to deal with it. Now, look at what Paul says. We're going to look at Galatians 4:19. This is what Paul says. Paul says, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Let's read it in another version. The New Living Translation says this. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. Let me be honest. If you are a real man of God or woman of God and you called to shepherd people, money is not your goal. Accolades are not your goal. Just getting up and preaching in front of people is not your goal. The goal is that the people are formed into Christ. And the scripture says, Paul says, it's like labor pains. Do you want to know what really bothers me is when you walk out of these doors and you don't act like Christ? Now, I understand people are human, so you're going to have moments. But when you are consistently calling yourself a Christian, but you're not acting like Christ, that's hard on a leader, because it's our job to make sure you're formed into Christ. And the forming process, like I said, is not easy, but I like the result that it produces. So it takes transformation and formation. So in the story I just told you, what God was doing, he was grabbing my head. And he was saying, I'm forming you into something. I've got something bigger for you, so I need you to humble yourself. Let me do it in a demonstration. Sometimes God wants you to dismiss yourself so he can stand up. So you have to lower yourself and humble yourself so that the Spirit of God can be formed in you. Christ formed in you. What did Christ say? Christ said, I wish this cup could pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, your will be done. It's beautiful when your will and his will aligns. But it's hard when your will is not his will. And his will, here's the thing about God, God's not changing his will. So either you got to line up to him or there's no other option. All right, so didn't want to go here. So you one of those people who are Christian and you're not married and you're working on a celibacy goal. And then you're like, well, shoot, forget that. Shoot, I'm grown. Yeah, you are. You are grown. But sometimes what God is forming in you will help you if you do what God wants you to do. I've never met somebody who's getting ready to walk down the aisle to someone they finally love and they saying, you know what, I wish I just had a few more bodies in my count. Normally, it's like, man, I did a little too much. And I hope we don't have to talk about it. I like it when older people get married and listen, and you ain't got to tell me about you and I ain't got to tell you about me. We moving forward. We ain't got to bring up nothing else. Let the past be the past. But here's the thing. God knows where you're headed. So sometimes the things he's asking you to do is not because he doesn't like you. He's trying to set you up for blessing later. But it's hard when you can't see what he's doing. I can't see my future husband. I see the joker here that's right beside me now. What am I waiting for? But sometimes God is asking you for things. And so that formation, that transformation, it's hard, or as the church folk you say, it's tight, but it's right. But it does something for you. It blesses you. I like to tell this story how, and I'm thinking of a specific person who I liked, and she was coming to church. She wasn't a church girl, but she was coming to church. And I liked her. And my mama being nosy like she is. I mean, I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say anointed. She picked up on my googly eyes. And later on let me know that she ain't for you. How you know? But now that I'm old and grown and who I'm with, I have thought about the person that I wanted to be with. I haven't just thought about them. I thought about them and their mother and their grandmother. And I'm like, whoa, God was protecting me from a whole bunch of stuff. But I couldn't see it because as a young man, I liked the way she was shaped. I liked the way she was formed. I wasn't worried about me being formed. But thank God, mama got in my business, because what sometimes rejection is protection. God is protecting you from some stuff. Sometimes you gotta just give up. That's why we sing the song, I Surrender All. And the universal sign of surrender is stick them up. That's why sometimes when praise gets high, some folks just I'm arrested by your presence, God. No, I don't want to do it your way, but God, I give up. I give in. I give over because I found out Father's way is best. Father knows best. You know best. So God, I'm going to yield to you even when it hurts. And the older I get, it don't hurt so much to follow his will because he knows what he's doing. All right, let me add this in. I'm going to have Mother Mitchell read this. Go ahead and flash this up. Ah, here's the thing. This is what was going on with my mother, is she was picking up on a burden. I can't let him go down this path. I gotta stop him. I gotta interfere. And some of y'all, the more you are formed, the more it hurts you when you see other people making decisions that you know is gonna cost them. I don't mean to be in your business, baby. I don't mean to be butting in, but just let me offer you some advice. And here's the thing. People like you till you tell them what they don't want to hear. People, your friend, your H boom cone, until you tell them, I don't know. And here's the crazy thing. Sometimes they ask you your opinion and get mad at you when you tell them what you see. Now, it's one thing if I butted my way in, but I ain't even said nothing. But now you ask me. Now, what do you think about so and so? I ain't got nothing to say. I ain't had nothing to say. Now you done saw so and so several times, not with the person who's asking you. And you, I'm not in it. My name is Bennett, and I ain't in it. But then they come and they ask you. The Lord told me to ask you. About, okay, now I got to tell them. And then when you tell them, they get mad at you. Everybody's not a hater. Some people are watching out for you, but you don't see it. So here's the thing, saints. One of the things about it is as God is forming things in you, you start picking up burdens for other people. Not just in the sanctuary, but you go out. You start seeing things. It starts hurting you because as God is developing you, you have a responsibility to start developing other people. And it changes. This is the reason why you can't go where you used to go, because it's not as enjoyable as it used to be. Because now you pick up on spirits. You see somebody dancing, having a good time, but you see beyond the smile and you pick up on the pain. Oh, and then you start praying for folk. You at the park and you under your breath speaking in tongues because you start picking up on these burdens. That's a good sign. It means God is forming something in you. And you can't just do what you used to do. All right, let's go to Colossians 3:16. It says this. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Then it says this. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. When you really start being formed, it changes these conversations. These telephone conversations don't be filled with gossip. They don't be filled with talking about worthless, aimless stuff. It becomes more intimate conversations, and you begin to talk about God. Here's something. When God is forming you and developing you and shaping you, you start gravitating to people who are talking the same language that you're talking. I want to be around people who only don't talk about God on Sunday morning. Give me somebody that we can have a conversation about God in the midweek. I ain't talking about Wednesday or Bible study either. I'm just talking about in the middle of the week. Have you ever talked to somebody and talked about the goodness of God and talked about, man, you know, God brought me through this. You need one of those friends that you can be in formation together. But let me add this. If you got to do it alone, you got to do it alone. If nobody in Deliverance Temple wants to fast and God is calling you to fast, you can't worry about other folk. You got to fast. They over there eating Panera and Chipotle, but God didn't tell them to fast. He told you to fast. Sometimes you got to do it alone so Christ can be formed in you. Everybody's calling is not the same, so you got to handle what God has given you. Guess what? The doctor doesn't have the same calling as the trash man. When the doctor goes to the street and starts dumping people's trash, then he goes and try to go into the surgery room, he's going to cause a lot of trouble because he cannot be around the trash and in the surgery room. He's got to stay in his lane. But same thing with the trash man. The trash man can't come into the doctor's office and try to do surgery. He's got to stay in his lane. So God has called us to different things, and you got to stay in your lane. But guess what? You can make a lot of money being a trash man, and you can make a lot of money being a doctor. It's not about levels. It's about staying where God has called you. And if God has called you to this, you got to do it. Well, I don't read through the Bible every year. That's fine. Nobody's asking you to do that. That's the assignment that God has for me. I have never once said y'all have to do what God has called me to do, but I'm doing it because God has called me to do it. So what are the things God is calling you to do that's forming you and shaping you? All right, let's move further. Halfway there. Now we're going to move to affirmation. So as you're being transformed and form, then there comes some things that you now have to start affirming yourself about. Because what happens when you're being transformed and formed, where you are is not where you're headed. And so what you have to do, you have to grab the language of where you're headed, and you've got to pull it into your now. Let me give you an example that I heard someone else say, and I use it quite often. In this room now, without an extra device, you can see everybody in the room but you. That's the way our lives are designed. You can see everybody but yourself. So sometimes the last person to know about you is you. And so what you have to do, you have to gather information from other people, because other people oftentimes are letting you know things about you. Because sometimes when you're being transformed and formed, you begin to reflect that before you get there. So when people start saying things about you, we call it confirmation. I'm talking about positive things. You need to turn those confirmations into affirmations. All right, let's give you an example. Sister Ruther comes in to church, and I say, "Ooh, Sister Ruther, you sure are wearing that outfit." And she said, I am. I just threw something together. I just, you know, in her mind, I just put something on. I wasn't even thinking about it. But I'm telling, no, you wearing that thing. So now it's up to her to start affirming herself and start calling those things that be not as though they were. So now she's got to start telling herself, no matter what I put on, I can wear a thing. Even if I'm in an apron, in pajamas, I can wear a thing. But here's the problem. Many times we see us the way we see us. So have you ever had someone say, sweetheart, are you losing weight? And you think, no, I ain't losing weight. I've been eating everything in sight. But here's the thing. You feel fat, so you act fat, but people around you don't see that. So now you have to start making affirmations. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am wise. Remember, we just talked about the I am. You begin to take the I am, and whatever you put after the I am becomes now an affirmation to you. So if you say, I am stupid, I am ignorant, I am no good, I don't never get things right, you're going to have to start switching those things into what God is forming. If God is forming something great in you, your language and your speech is going to have to be about greatness, even when you don't see it yet. One of the reasons about taking self-inventory is to deal with what is wrong so you can replace it with what is right. So now you have to get your mouth in line with your destination. If your destination is not broke, you have to switch your language from I can't afford it. It's too high. It's not time yet. See, I'm adjusting my language. I'm not saying no longer I can't afford it. I'm just saying it's not the time because I'm adjusting my affirmation. So when you begin to do that, it helps you form and shape you. That's why I encourage people to start doing things that stretch you. I often say until you can afford a passport and afford a vacation, take your computer and change the screensaver to a beach so you start looking at stuff just so that it inspires you, and the inspiration will affect your affirmation, and now you begin to talk things and do things. I shared that in 2009, I was reading a book called The Long Walk of Freedom, and it is the book about Nelson Mandela. It is his life, and I really enjoyed it. It was interesting. I had read three books in a row. I had read Martin, Malcolm, and then Mandela, the three M's. And the reason why it came to me in that way is I was at a funeral, and I didn't even want to go to the front. I was at a young person's funeral, and they asked all the young pastors and ministers to go to the front. And I was like, nah, I don't really feel like going to the front. And somebody pointed at me like, they talking about you. Get up there. So I got up there, and Pastor W.J. Jackson was preaching, and he mentioned the three M's, and I was like, I don't know enough about the three M's. And so I took some time and began to study Martin, Malcolm, and Mandela in that order. As I was reading Mandela, something just jumped in me that I want to go to South Africa. And then I just put the book down. I was on my job. I put the book down for a second, and I just got up, and I said, one day I'll be there. And I totally forgot about it. 2017, I'm in South Africa preaching, and the preacher has decided to take me to the museum of Mandela's old house. And I'm walking through the house, and it just hit me. It just hit me what I said in 2009. 8 years later, I was living it, and I had forgotten about it. If God could bring to pass something I forgot about, what will he do with something you consistently affirm? You consistently talk about. You consistently speak. If you put it in your mouth, and you put it in your language, and you put it in your speech, you begin to shape your destiny. You begin to form things. So stop talking bad about yourself. I am somebody. I am important. I am smart. I used to tell myself I was dumb because of the grades that I was getting, but I started shifting my affirmation, and now I've got one class left. I'm so close to graduation. I can taste it. But not only am I close to graduation, I have a 4.0, because at some point I stop talking bad about myself and I start affirming what God says about me. You don't just come to church to hear the Bible. You come to get affirmations that you can put in your spirit, and you can look yourself in the mirror, and you can talk to yourself and tell yourself what thus says the Lord. I'm a child of God. I belong to the Savior. I'm not a sinner. I'm saved by grace. I am anointed. I am healed. I am blessed. Whatever you want, you got 66 books you can grab, and you can tell yourself what thus says the Lord. Affirmation. Here's a definition for affirm. Put it up here, Mother Mitchell. Read it when they put it up.
Affirm. State it as a fact. Assert strongly and publicly.
State it as a fact. Even when it's not a fact. I'm somebody's wife. Baby, you 72 and ain't nobody. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if it don't happen until I'm 92. I'm somebody's wife. You get your negative talk out of my life. I don't need no negative folk around me. I'm speaking what I want. I'm speaking what I believe. Don't let somebody pull you down. You talk it like you believe. I start saying I was a father before I was a father. And people said, you got to be wise. So, Sometimes you got, listen, you keep your faith over there. Let me work on what I'm working on. I'm stating this as a fact. Now, we're not talking about being ignorant. I love this story. My dad said that he visited somebody in jail, and he finally asked him, he said, son, what do you want to do with your life? And he said, I want to be an astronaut. And like, hold on, doc. It's got to at least match up somehow. My daddy said, he asked him, well, how'd you do in science? Let's start the small stuff. So we're not telling you just grab and say anything, but we're saying use wisdom. What are the things that God keeps bringing to you? Some of y'all are dreaming again, and things keep popping in your head because God wants you to go. If you keep seeing yourself in a bigger house, start believing for a bigger house. If every time you drive, the BMW that passes you just jumps out to you, start picturing yourself driving it as well. Start affirming as fact and publicly asserting it. All right, let's get some scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. We speak according to our belief. Then look at what it says in Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The other scripture we read says you talk to each other in these psalms and spiritual hymns. But if you don't have nobody to talk with you, then you do it yourself. They say you're crazy if you talk to yourself. I say you're crazy if you don't. Talk to yourself. Sing to yourself. Praise to yourself. I don't need a choir. I don't need a praise team. I don't need a tambourine, a drum, or an organ, or even a harmonica. I'll praise my way out. I'll talk to myself. I'll praise myself. Sometimes I try to play it off and put an AirPod in my ear so folk don't know I'm crazy. But I'm talking to God. I'm praising my way. Speak to yourself. That helps affirm you. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right. Now that goes to this. Number four. So this is going to take this. It will shift your dedication. Because in order to stay with affirmation, it's going to cost you dedication. Because many times what you say is not what you see. You sometimes see it you say it a long time before you see it. So there has to be a level of dedication. But as God is transforming you and forming you, you just lock in. I'm locked in. In other words, I didn't used to like this, but I understand it now. The old people used to say, Lord, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. In other words, I'm putting my blessing and the blessing schedule in your hand. God, do it when you want to do it. Well, 2026 is my year. Well, it don't have to be my year. You can come in 27. You can come in 28. It don't make me a difference. I'm with you, God. I'm dedicated. I'm going all the way with the Lord. It's that mindset. It's that mentality. It's a level of dedication. All right. Colossians 3:23 says this. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That's why God arrested me and said, if I tell you to exceed expectations, you will, because I'm testing your level of dedication. I want you to do it as unto me, not unto everybody else. And here's the problem with the social media age. We only do stuff when somebody's watching. I'm going to give to the homeless man as long as there's some four people who can pull out their phone and video me doing it. No, it's not about being seen. It's about honoring God who sees everything. All right, next verse, 24, says this. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Oh, ultimately, I'm not serving Deliverance Temple. I'm not serving Pastor and Lady Devin. I'm serving the Lord. So what I do is to the Lord, and the Lord will reward. So just in case, and I'll use her real name, just in case Joyce
don't thank me. I won't get an attitude with Joyce because I didn't do it for Joyce. I did it for God. And just in case somebody doesn't notice me, it's okay because I'm not doing it to be noticed. I'm doing it to God. My formation, there's a dedication to my formation because at the end of the day, this is for me. I'm working on me. I use the example of someone says, oh, are you losing weight? Guess what? If don't nobody say you're losing weight, you keep working out because you're doing it for your health. You're not doing it for them. And then you have the folk that will try to hate on you and tell you, man, your face sure is puffy. Now, you know I'm losing all this weight and you're trying to find one thing to bring me down. You don't worry about that because this is what miserable people want other people to be miserable. So I'm not going to allow your misery to tear me down. I'm dedicated. You can't pull me off of this. You can't stop me from going in the direction I'm going. I'm working on something. I'm dedicated to it. I'm not doing it for applause. I'm not doing it for approval. I'm not doing it for your praise. This is between me and God. I looked at the person in the mirror and I wanted some changes. I'm changing for me. I'm doing it for me. And if you like it, great. If you don't, great. It makes no difference. This is for me. This year, you're going to have to do some stuff for you. Why you buy a car like that in this economy? This is what I wanted. Don't worry about what I'm doing. This is for me. Why you go to La Jolla's? You can make a steak at home. Yes, but today I want to eat there. Leave me alone. This is for me, and I'm dedicated to it. Don't allow nobody to pull you off of your dedication. The scripture of Nehemiah says they were on the wall and Sanballat and Tobiah kept telling them, come off of the wall. And Nehemiah said, I'm not coming down. I'm working on something. I'm building something. So don't let some jackleg fool pull you off of the assignment of God. All right, now I've got to turn a corner. This is really where the sermon started because I was thinking of last week about celebration. And I was listening to a podcast and the person used the same word celebration. Normally, after I preach something throughout the week, I hear confirmation of what I've preached. And hopefully you guys run into the same thing. But he made a statement that I thought was very powerful. And I think it's very good for this sermon. And actually, this is where I first begin to think. He began to talk about how there's power, not just in celebration, but in lamentation. So let's put this up. This is number 5. It's lamentation. So what lamentation is the reality and the honesty of your present situation and circumstance. And so affirmation is good because you are calling a future place into where you are now. But don't miss the power of lamentation. This is what happens with people of faith. Sometimes they try to be too deep. How are you doing? I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Well, you got a knife in the side over here. Look like you about to bleed out. It actually looked like you need to go to the emergency room. I'm trusting God. I believe in faith, but there are some real realities that you need to deal with. And so that sometimes you have to learn how to sit. And so I'm going to give you 4 things that you have to sit. And these are not bad things. So go ahead and put it up. Sometimes you got to sit in silence. Sometimes you have to sit with sorrow. Sometimes you just got to sit with yourself. And sometimes you got to sit with the sacrifice. Let's start with the last one first. When you are at a level of dedication, it costs to be dedicated. But sometimes you just need to sit with that sacrifice and think about it and ponder it. Sometimes you mothers need to think about what it costs for you to be a mother, to raise kids, to think about those things and not rush through all those emotions. Don't try to rush the celebration too quick. Nothing wrong with praising God, but sometimes mental trauma happens when you don't know how to sit with your reality. When you try to run past things. It's very interesting. When I would listen to Joel Osteen, or he would come on the radio, I would notice it seemed like he talks about the death of his father all the time. 1999 it happened. Here it is, 2009. It seemed like he's still talking about it. But when my dad was gone, and I'm a pastor, I find myself mentioning a lot in my service because it's a part of the grieving process. You can't rush past everything. When people have been gone and you've lost people, it's okay to sit with sorrow. Today is not a good day. Today I don't want to be called. Today I don't want to talk to nobody. I'm having a moment. It's okay. It doesn't make you less of a Christian because you have to sit and lament sometimes. And it's not just the loss of loved ones. It's the loss of relationship. Well, I told you he wasn't no good. Yeah, you told me that. But right now, I'm mourning what I thought it would be. I need a moment to process. And sometimes we're so deep, we don't process real stuff. And that's how the trauma keeps cycling and keeps triggering. Sometimes go talk to somebody, not just down at the altar. Go sit on somebody's couch and tell them. Yeah, I'm saved, but I was molested. Yeah, I lost somebody. I'm hurting. It's okay to lament. You ain't got to be so deep because it's part of the formation process. In my therapy, I was just talking, and after a while, I told my therapist, I said, I really enjoy this space. And she says, you know why? I was like, no. She said, because in most all of your spaces, they're all for somebody else. In the church space, it's for the members. At home, as a father, it's for the wife and kids. On the job, it's for General Motors. But this is the one space you can dump with no expectation. I was like, yeah, it feel good. So guess what? When y'all get on my nerves, I don't get mad at y'all. I talk to her. Then I come back and I smile with y'all. It's a blessing. Sometimes you need a place to unload. But when you don't have that, maybe you don't have the money for it, you got to learn how to sit with yourself. Sometimes just go to the reservoir and just watch the water and just cry, lament. Now, women don't mind crying, but sometimes men, it's okay to cry. You're not weak because you cry. Let me be honest to you. I wish I could cry more than I do. The last time I really, really, really cried was when Bishop Clark passed away. I sat there at his wake and just tears dropped. But even with my father and other things, I'm doing so much. It's hard for me to even cry because I'm a man. I'm tough. Sometimes you need just some moments. And sometimes it don't have to be so deep. You just want a Netflix day. Sometimes I'm not, I got a paper to write. I ain't writing the paper right now. I got bills to pay. I ain't paying the bills right now. I'm going to watch His and Hers on Netflix and enjoy myself. Have a moment. Just going to have a moment. Now, Sister Devin had to help me because I'm such an analytical thinker that I figure movies out before they even get started. And I tell her so-and-so is the killer. She'd be like, would you just shut up and let me watch? And then I'm thinking, yeah, I ain't got to process everything. I ain't got to be deep about everything. I can just watch some stuff. I can just do some stuff. Sometimes you need to go to places that ain't so holy. What do you mean? I'm going to that We the Ones tour. Well, ain't no Christian on there. I don't want a preacher. I want to laugh. Well, they going to cuss. Yeah, I know they going to cuss, but I this is what I need right now. You ain't got to be deep all the time. Learn how to sit with what you need. Now, you have to be careful taking a daily diet of that stuff. But from time to time, you just need something. From time to time, you need to be without the kids when you're married. And so just today, after church is over, me and Devin got something planned, just us. So if we don't answer the phone, it's because we're spending time with just us, doing what grown folk do, just us.
Well, let me change it. I don't want you to have your mind in the gutter. We doing some things that grown folks do. Just us. Learn how to grab those moments in your life. Because here's the thing, life will pass you by. Life will rush you if you don't learn how to slow things down. Take every now and then, my GPS is always set for the fastest route. And if the GPS says I'm going to get there in 55 minutes, I'm trying to make it 48. But every now and then, take the scenic route. Take your time. Every now and then, get up and get dressed and leave early enough so you can get in the slow lane and just chill. Oh, I used to hate being in the slow lane, but the older I get, I just chill. The other day, I was behind a semi, but I didn't have no place to go. And the semi had me going 65, and I did not care. I'm just chilling, listening to my music. I was sitting with myself. I was going through my emotions. I was dealing with me, and I enjoyed myself. Life is rough. Take some moments for yourself. And the truth of lamentation, if you study it out, it's actually prayer in a different form. It's prayer with your honesty, not just your faith. It's where this is where I want to be. In other words, I said you have dreams of a bigger house. But right now, the house you're in right now, the sink is dripping. The toilet is running. God, I need help right now. Thank you for the dream for later. But right now, this sucks. It's okay to tell God the real, because that's how you invite him in. Let's put a few things up here. Put it up. Go ahead and read that, Mother.
The goal of lamentation is to turn the despair into prayer.
Woo! Turn the despair into prayer. So what you're doing, you're inviting him on the scene. Go ahead and flash this up and read these names, Mother.
Job, David, Elijah, Jeremiah, Jesus, all.
Those are all people who were in rough times, and they spoke exactly how they felt. Let's look at Psalms 102, 1 through 2. It says this, God, listen to my prayer. Listen to the pain in my cries. Do not turn your back on me just when I need you so desperately. Pay attention. This is a cry for help, and hurry. This can't wait. Sometimes you can talk to God like that. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10 says this. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired life itself. We're going to stop with that. I'm going to skip the next two verses and go to my last point. Last point is annexation. Here's the last one. Go ahead and put the definition up. I'll read this. It's a building joined to or associated with a main building, providing additional space or accommodations. So when our old church was attached to the fellowship hall wasn't their first, it was their second. It's called an annex building. You're adding something that wasn't there to extend and to expand. Let's put another definition up. To add territory to one's own territory by appropriation. Take it for oneself or appropriate. What happened is countries would just annex another country. That's how World War II started, because Hitler says, I'm taking Poland and making it part of Russia. Start the World War. And actually, Russia tried to do the same thing with Ukraine. But in the positive way, you got to learn how to just grab stuff and add them to your arsenal, so that you can be the person you need to be. We're closing with this, and it's just so simple. But remember this. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8 says this. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, add knowledge. Just keep adding some stuff to yourself. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. The last one. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, as you go inward and you do all these other things that I've told you to do, then you just start adding stuff. I'm adding a degree. Somebody else may add a business. You may add a house. You may add a relationship. After you've added all these things, learn how to go inward, see what you need, and just add them. I'm closing with this. I know you guys are getting older, but don't let your age determine where you are in your life. Keep adding some stuff. If you've never been there, I know you're old, but go there if you want to go there. If you've never driven it, drive it if you want to drive it. You may, well, you say, well, I don't want this type of payment. Well, test drive it 3-4 times in 3-5 different places just to be in it. Enjoy it. Listen, add to yourself. That way you don't be miserable Christians mad at everybody else. You can have a smile on your face and you can make this life enjoyable. All right, let's stand to our feet. Let's go. Here's our confession. We'll do it one time. Father God, in this new season, I am working on me. I am working on me. May I be the best version of me that DT has ever seen. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, clap your hands this morning. We're going to bow our heads and pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, I thank you for the way forward and the way inward. How we're going forward, but we're also going inward. And God, help us to equip ourselves with what you want to equip us with so we can be the people that you want. And as Bishop Mitchell would say, the sons and the daughters of your delight. And for that, we thank you, praise you, and love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you.